Hi, this is Awani Global, and my name is Saraya Mia. Diplomacy is the backbone of all international relations, and in conjunction with the 51st year of diplomatic relations between Poland and Malaysia, we have here on the show the Deputy Foreign Minister of Poland, Mr. Marcin Sirtas. So, Mr. Marcin will be talking about the future prospects of the Malaysian and Poland diplomatic relations, as well as what we can improve to better the relations between these two countries. Now, first of all, welcome on the show, and also welcome to Malaysia. I believe this is your first time here in Malaysia.
Yes, it is. Thank you very much for having me. It is my first time, very first day of my visit. I just had a very productive, good talks at your MFA. So looking forward for the next meetings to come.
I'm really excited that you actually are impressed with the development of Malaysia. But of course, we are going to get straight to our conversation. Now, Poland is actually a key country in Europe. It's located in Central Europe, and it acts as an encouragement to the eastern neighbors in Europe. And in terms of economics, the Polish economy relies strongly on international trade. So, Deputy Minister, after 51 years of bilateral ties between Malaysia and Poland, what could be the common interest between these two countries?
Well, I believe there are many common interests, despite the fact that we are geographically somehow maybe distant countries. Nevertheless, both of our countries are developing quite well. Both of our economies are doing very, very well. Interested in further development of trade exchange. I think many products which are being produced in Poland could find an easy way on your market and the other way around. There is still room for improvement in our economic relations. First and foremost, we need to keep the stability in both regions, in Southeast Asia, but also in Central and Eastern part of Europe. There are some challenges ahead of us, but to keep that kind of development, I think the stability is absolutely key factor. So let's work on that. That was my message today in Kuala Lumpur. And the second, let's look for potential spheres of cooperation. Where could we work together? How to develop our economic relations? How to encourage Polish investors to come to Malaysia, and how to encourage Malaysian entrepreneurs to be a bit more present on the European market?
Absolutely. Now, talking about, you know, encouragement of investments between Poland and Malaysia, the IT sectors in both these countries have been rapidly growing, you know, over the past years. So what can both countries do to sort of further strengthen the ties in this particular sector?
Well, as you rightly said, we are quite good in IT. Well-known country in Europe, but all around the world, and the same with Malaysia. So there's a huge potential. I think the people, they just need to be somehow put into the position to get to know each other, right? And first to have contacts. Mm-hmm. Of course, in the IT sphere, they do a lot of remote contacts, but nevertheless, it's better always to sit together and to think about future projects. So we need to work on that kind of platform of cooperation. Mm-hmm. The first and the second, of course, to create a positive business-friendly climate in both countries for this for that kind of sector. So the potential, as I said, is there. Polish IT specialists are already present in the region. I was just a couple of days ago in Singapore, and I've met many of them, also in other countries in ASEAN. I think Malaysia should be absolutely prioritized right now for us, since, as I said, there is a huge potential in this country.
Yes, I definitely hope that this sit down would be perhaps one step forward towards more, you know, better trade between Poland and Malaysia in terms of the IT sector. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about the crisis in Ukraine, because Poland, as we understand, is a neighboring country of Ukraine, and also located, as I mentioned just now, in Central Europe. So the United Nations reported that the Ukraine war has caused millions of Ukrainians to flee the country. And Poland being a neighboring country, and also Poland is known to be accepting of refugees. It's one of the most accepting refugees nation in Europe. But how, with the influx of refugees from Ukraine because of the war, how is the government dealing with this?
Well, first of all, let's be precise with the language. It's a Russian aggression on Ukraine. It's a Russian war which is on the sovereign territory of Ukraine, unjustified, unprovoked. Ukraine as a sovereign country just wanted to develop. It was the Kremlin which decided to invade and to create a kind of sphere of influence, I don't know, a new colony, as a kind of colonial policy towards Ukraine. That's why we cannot accept that kind of violation of international law. But you rightly said, we are affected by this instability. 6 million of Ukrainians had to flee this country. The vast majority of them came to Poland, across the Polish-Ukrainian border. 90% of those are women with kids. We've managed to somehow successfully accommodate those refugees in the Polish accommodation, I mean in the Polish life. Although there are some challenges, we offered refugees the access to the Polish labor market. We successfully enrolled thousands of Ukrainian kids to Polish schooling system. But of course, there are some costs. Nevertheless, we'll not stop. Of course, we will continue our policy because this is the right thing to do to help people in need, and especially those who are treated like Ukrainians are treated in Ukraine. They are by Russians. They are unfortunately in danger not only of losing their sovereignty. What we've seen is there are mass war criminals. Ukrainians are being killed only because of the fact that they are Ukrainians. So they really depend on us, on our help, and that's what we're gonna do.
Well, that's great of you. Now also, of course, the war in Ukraine has caused like supply chain disruption, food shortages, inflation, you know, price hikes globally. So how did this impact the trade between Poland and Malaysia?
Well, it is, of course, the Russian aggression in Ukraine which brought those negative repercussions. But not only, let me remind that we are still recovering from the pandemic, right?
Exactly, exactly.
And the problems with the supply chains and inflation are also deeply rooted in that time. Of course, the aggression of Russia brought the further instability, increase of energy prices, and food shortages. Ukraine was one of the biggest exporters of grain to Asia and Africa. Unfortunately, they are not in a position to export it through their own ports because of the of Russia, which is blocking Black Sea and the access to those ports. That's why we, as the neighboring country Poland, we've opened the special solidarity lanes, open our borders to export Ukrainian border Ukrainian grain through Polish border and through Polish ports, because we are very much, of course, interested in supplying Asian and African countries with food. It's not about business; it's rather about food security and avoiding a scenario of famine, which apparently Russia is interested in, because Russia is not only blocking Ukrainian port, but limiting also its own export of grain in order to create problems and to set, I would say, fire in this part of the world. So that's the very big challenge, and we, together with the European Union, are working very hard on this. But there are also some opportunities because of that. I mean, we as Poland, as one of the biggest world food producers, are ready to export our food to countries like Malaysia. That was also the topic of my discussions today in Kuala Lumpur. We could be a provider of food security for your beautiful country. Not only grain, but many other food products, milk products, dairy, meat, etc. That's what we can offer. And I think the quality of our food is absolutely one of the best in the world. So your clients, Malaysians, will be absolutely satisfied with this.
All right, well, we'll get deeper into the food security issue later on, but still on the topic of the situation between Ukraine and Russia, we understand that this is a very a tough situation to actually gauge, especially for international world leaders, you know. So my question really is, how can the international community sort of find a balance between, you know, basically finding a balance to find a solution towards the crisis that's going on, taking into consideration, you know, not all countries have the exact same stance. As an example, within the ASEAN region, Singapore strongly is against the Russian aggression. Meanwhile, Malaysia has always had a neutral stance. So how will the world leaders sort of find a solution to, of course, end the crisis that is affecting millions of people in Ukraine and also globally? How can we find a common ground to find the solution towards the crisis in Ukraine?
I think that the international law should be a common ground for all of us, and especially for countries like Poland and Malaysia. We are profiting a lot from the current security architecture, global security architecture. Both of our economies are developing quite well, also because of the fact that the world order is based on some principles and rules. So every country which is violating or breaching those principles and rules are standing against our own interests. So this is not a time to be neutral. What we need to do is to send a strong political signal towards the aggressor: stop doing this, because this is destroying the global stability, which is very important for all of us. So first, the international regulations. The second, we need to ask the question, and that was my question also during my visit here in ASEAN region, whether we want to see the superpower destroying smaller countries and imposing kind of new policy on them, basically coming back to the colonial way of doing foreign affairs and foreign policy. Both of our countries were once dominated by superpower, and I don't think that we are ready to come back to this that kind of time. That was the worst times in our history. So once we see a superpower trying to recreate empire, recreate a colonial system, now it is Ukraine, but tomorrow it can be any other part of the world. So it's better to say stop it now and come back to the dialogue, come back to the diplomacy, come back to the trade exchange and collaboration, rather than starting a war. So there are a lot of series of common interests for both of our countries. We just need to understand better what happened. It's not EU or Europe's expansion towards the East, as is presented by Russia. It is the Ukrainian nation which really wanted to collaborate closer with Poland, with Germany, with France or Italy, because they see the difference what Russia can offer and what the West can offer. That was the case also on Poland, where we were joining in 2004 European Union and earlier NATO. It was our sovereign decision to be a part of this, and now our Ukrainian neighbors are just following the path, because they see how a big success story is the history of the last 30 years of Poland.
As you mentioned just now, Poland has been a member of NATO since 1999, and it's strategically important for the alliance. So how is Poland sort of engaging with the eastern neighbor, as well as the West, to find a solution, back at that solution to end the crisis?
Well, the best solution to end this crisis would be to encourage Russia to withdraw its troops and stop killing people, killing civilians, and destroying cities. That would be the best solution for all of us. So as for now, the only option to stop Russia is to continue the policy of sanctions, and that's what we are doing, and supporting Ukraine in terms of our humanitarian assistance, financial assistance, and many many other ways of our support. And that's the role of Poland. We are a kind of encouraging our Western partners to be a bit more active. And that's also the my goal here in ASEAN region, to share our perspective, but also encourage you to be even more active with regard to that.
What about the fact that Ukraine is not a member of NATO? How is Poland engaging with NATO as well as the West to maybe, you know, help Ukraine in that sense to join the alliance?
Well, Ukraine is not a member of NATO, so there is no Article 5 over Ukraine. Nevertheless, it is a partner for NATO, for all of us. First and foremost, it's a country which was invaded by other superpower. That's why they deserve our support. But NATO is not engaged in this war. It's the Ukraine and Ukrainian people defending itself, defending its sovereign status, in its integrity, territorial integrity. But I can tell you, I've been many times in Ukraine since the outbreak of this war, and I can tell you that are very much motivated to continue what they are doing, because they know that they are fighting for their lives. Once they lose, they will lose not only the sovereignty of their country, but probably many lives of civilians, many women and kids will be killed, just like yesterday in the very small city of Vinnytsia, mother with a three-year-old baby was on a walk in the park and was shot by the rockets launched by Russian army. That kind of stories are very much present on everyday life in Ukraine. We must stop it.
Right, I can only empathize to that. Now, we're going to just change the conversation a little bit to another important topic, which is climate change. The topic has been in the forefront of most conversations in the recent years. So we understand as well that Poland has hosted the World Urban Forum this year in the metropolitan city of Katowice.
Yes.
And so Malaysia being still a sort of developing in many parts of the country, how can we learn from Poland in that sense? Because I believe that Katowice used to be the coal capital of Europe, and then it was changed into a green city. So what can we learn in that sense?
Well, yes, there was a very successful conference named Urban Conference in Katowice. Malaysia was very represented, actively participating in this event. And thank you very much for your participation. Yes, mm-hmm. Katowice and this Silesia region is a great success story. It was very industrial, based on coal and mining industry. Because of a quite wise decision, political decision, but also engagement of local authorities, they've managed to change the structural economy of this part of the world into the IT region, where the IT specialists are working with new technologies. The university and the technical university, which are placed in this region, are doing very, very well, educating people, and then a lot of startups were settled there, with of course a great engagement of foreign investors. So there are possibilities. I think we can share our experience. It took a couple of years. It didn't happen overnight. It took 30 years to make this transition, but it is possible with a little of engagement of people and the government. So, and the same with the environment policy, with the green policy. That was one of the biggest polluters in Europe, this part of the world. Once we transformed successfully Katowice and Silesia into that kind of economy, which is right now, it's doing much better. All those green technologies are implemented there. I think we can also exchange views on that and share our experience with you.
Green technologies. That sounds very interesting. Now we're going to head to talk about the food security, as you mentioned just now. Yeah. So we understand that food security is a major issue across the globe. And of course, this has caused the agricultural production as well as agri-tech, agricultural technology to gain more traction in terms of investment. So what kind of sort of technology for agriculture that we can actually look at between Poland and Malaysia? How can we expand, how can we explore to improve trade between Malaysia and Poland in this sense?
First and foremost, we need to improve the supply chains. I would say that the, you know, the logistics between Asia and Europe, which was disrupted somehow, disrupted during the pandemic, need to be rebuilt. That's the first first task to do. The second lesson taken from pandemic is that not only the and not always the price should be the key factor mm-hmm. in terms of food, because of the that kind of problems that when the producers and the clients are searching only for the cheapest, absolutely the cheapest product, then it may seem that it's on the other part of the world in quite unstable reality, that overnight that kind of provider could be somehow stopped from providing the food. So the security is something more than just doing simple business based on the cheapest on the lowest price. So that's the second lesson, and the third to exchange a bit experience between two economies. As I told you, there are many products and many investors possible investors in Poland which could be placed on your market, which could be present here mm-hmm. with their offer, being one of the biggest not only in Europe but globally food food producer, we can be a provider of food security for you. You know, when you ask someone in Poland whether they are afraid of famine or afraid of lack of food, people will answer, no, okay, we are so, I mean, we're so...
Even now?
Even now, we're so big producers of food, meat, grain, that there are many other challenges, but we are pretty sure that we will not finish up with in hunger or something mm-hmm. like this. So we can obviously be a provider of this security to others, not only in Europe, but also to our Asian partners, including Malaysia.
What about inflation and price hikes? As we know that, of course, the COVID-19 pandemic has impacted the world economy and society as well. So how is Poland recovering from this on top of, you know, the impacts of the Ukraine war? How is Poland's economy recovering from these harsh impacts as well as the society? How has that impacted Poland?
Well, as every economy, we are having some challenges because mm-hmm. Of this post-pandemic world, and war just next to our border doesn't really help, just opposite. Although we are a quite safe country, secured not only with guarantees of our allies and the presence of our Western allies on the Polish soil, but also with a quite well-doing Polish army. So we are not afraid of any possible invasion within the next years. As I said, the inflation and the global problems are also, they do have also negative impact on us. So given this, we are doing quite okay. Our GDP is still growing, mostly because of the fact that Poles are quite hardworking people, I think, just like Malaysian, that this ethic of labor or work is very high. We know that whatever we got, nobody gave it us for free. It was
right.
just our own job done by through the generations. So that's a strong foundation for the future. But with inflation, of course, there will be some harsh decisions, some difficult decision to be taken. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the recession is also ahead of us. So probably to really fight this inflation, it will take us a bit more than weeks, probably months, or even longer. So first of all, let's repair the supply chains. Second, let's work on the energy prices, because inflation is deeply rooted in this, as I said, aggressive policy of Mr. Putin, who was playing the energy resources in order to scale up, I mean, his revenues, but the effect was very negative for the global economy. So we cannot let that kind of egoistic policy to be continued.
Right. Still on the topic of economic recovery, another sector that is vastly recovering right now is the tourism sector. So what can you tell us about, you know, Polish tourism activities, that perhaps some fun facts about Poland that can attract the Malaysian travelers?
Well, first of all, Malaysia is such a beautiful country that there are Polish tourists coming here to see Kuala Lumpur, Malacca, and not only. So I think we don't need to encourage any Polish citizen to come to Malaysia. They know very well how beautiful country this this is. But Poland, of course, maybe is not that at this very moment popular tourist destination, but it is very attractive place to come. Because of our history, beautiful cities, not only of Warsaw, but also Kraków, our former capital for many, many years with medieval architecture. We do have beautiful mountains named Tatra Mountains, quite high, with a special original people living there, Highlanders in the, up there in the mountains with their own specific culture, cuisine, and very open-minded people with a great hospitality. Lakes you can sail on in the Mazury region just next to Lithuania. So many beautiful places to live, to visit, and to learn the history of Central Europe. Poland is the biggest country of the region. So I think for those who want to really learn a bit more about Europe, it's worth to go not only to Paris, London, or Rome, but also to the other part of Europe, starting from Poland, of course.
You got me at history and culture. Well, that was Marcin Sirtasz, the Deputy Foreign Minister of Poland. My name is Soraya Mia. That was Awani Global. Thank you so much for watching, and we'll see you in the next episode.